Since my eyes were fixed on Jesus,
This day is a day that I have planned for you, and I have especially set aside my blessing for those who will come near to me, for those who will draw nigh, for those who will open their hearts to me and keep their eyes on me, those who will let their vision be filled with me and with the things that I have promised in my word. Oh, just look up and rejoice, for there is a portion for each and every one.
Thank you.
reminded this morning of a word which the Lord gave to us by the Holy Spirit. And there's more than one, but the same topic. We know we have that word that praise is a shortcut into His presence. In the last year of our brother Hans Wolfold's life, he gave us words sometimes in worship that were weighty as far as I was concerned. And this morning I was reminded of this one word that he gave one time, and that was that our praise must be personal with the Lord and to the Lord to be acceptable by Him. We do not do it for others to hear us or just because others are doing it or just because it's sort of customary for us to do it, but we do it for Jesus to hear us and that it may glorify Him. And many times since then, especially when I've been in a meeting, of course, when I'm by myself, I know it's just between me and the Lord. But many times when I've been in a meeting and there has been praise and I go along with the stream, I've had to stop myself and say, now, is this personal to Jesus? Is my praise now personal to Jesus? And then endeavor, of course, that my praise shall be personal to Jesus. And many times we know that there are people who may go along in a meeting to praise the Lord and to, say hallelujah and all that, give praise to Jesus. But when they're not in a group like that, and when maybe they're by themselves, or maybe it's calls for a sacrifice of praise, they don't seem to have that liberty. But I'm sure that as we keep endeavoring to make our praise personal to Jesus, whether we're by ourselves or whether we're in a meeting, and so on, not just going along with the stream, so to speak, but to remember, now, Jesus, You are here. You are in the midst. You are worthy of honor and praise and glory. You are worthy, and now I'm praising You from my heart because of all that You've done for me, Lord Jesus, and for all that You are, and for all that You're going to do for me. I'm praising You because You, Jesus, have died for me.
Hallelujah.
You have purchased my redemption. Mm. And, you know, as we do that, it means so much more to us.
Yes,
and of course, it means
yes.
much to the Lord. And I want to endeavor to remember that my praise should be personal to Jesus.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Thank you.
no one else in this meeting. Let's just worship him in spirit and in truth and see what he'll do for us. Hallelujah.
Of the Holy Ghost, and the way that you learn it's a weapon of the Holy Ghost is to praise him when you don't feel like it. It'll drive the enemy right out of the camp, put him right in the pit. And I've discovered in my own experience, wherever has been the greatest trial of my life, the Lord has always given me something on praise. One time I remember this word in Matthew 5, and I think it's 11 and 12. It says, "Rejoice. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say, oh, man of evil, against you falsely for my sake." You know, one day that was just a scripture verse we're teaching to the children in Sunday school. But next week it was a reality. I was being persecuted. And it wasn't easy, you know. It was very hard. But the thing was, the next verse, I had to teach them the next verse. We just reviewed that verse. And I, you know, the next verse just floored me. It says, "Rejoice and be exceeding glad." I said, "Now how can you rejoice and be exceeding glad when people are persecuting you, saying all things manner, all manner of falsely against you?" It didn't seem right, did it? I tell you, friends, it took me 5 months it's easy to rejoice when you get in a meeting like this morning, right? But you know, when you're alone, you don't have 100 people or 50, 30 people with you to praise with you. I tell you, it's not easy. So I remember I said to my husband, let us do it. He said, you got the life, you do it. So I was alone. That's one of his favorite sayings. You got the life, you do it. Okay. So I took my Bible and I put my finger on that verse, rejoice. And you know, it wasn't the rejoice part. It was the Holy Ghost said, and be exceeding glad. Oh. I didn't even know what glad meant, so I looked it up in the dictionary because I didn't have any gladness, I'll tell you. And I really wasn't very exceeding. I looked up exceeding in the Bible, in the dictionary too. I wanted to be sure I knew what it meant. It said exceeding, you know, just superfluous. That's what it is. Well, I didn't have that kind of spirit, I tell you. And I put my finger on that verse, and I tell you, I walked back and forth sometimes by the hour. I felt like a Christian Science. You know how they tell you, it's just math. What is it, mind over matter? Well, I tell you, it wasn't mind over matter with me. It didn't come easy. But I walked anyways, and it must have sounded like groans, you know, from the pits. You know how when you're feeling bad in your spirit, you ever got up and groaned in the morning? Oh, another day. Well, and you know, everything began to come worse when Sunday went out and had two flat tires. Rejoice, be exceeding glad. How can you rejoice and be exceeding glad, things like that? Umpteen trials began to pile on, and the more I praised, the less I felt any victory. But you know, I want to tell you something, friends. It's the obedience of doing it when you don't feel like it. And then I went to New York, and the pastor was sitting on the platform. He said, now, is there anybody here this morning that can rejoice and be exceeding glad? I just raised my hands. I didn't say a word. I said, Lord, 5 months I've labored. You know, God opened heaven. And from 10 o'clock in the morning until 4 in the afternoon, it seemed like a moment. God opened heaven and poured something into my soul. I've never been the same since. You can't. When God begins to pour something into your soul from heaven, I said, I only had one regret. I said, if I had known the reward, I'd have been 10 times more rejoiceful and more praiseful and more happy, more exceeding glad about these things. But I want to tell you, if you will begin, like Sister Barr said, you know, and I do that too in meetings. I say, Jesus, I'm not doing it because they're doing it, but oh, you are worthy to be praised. Isn't he wonderful? And I tell you, God's got something he wants to do for us this morning.
Yes.
And worship, he inhabits the praises of his people. And that's so wonderful. When we begin to praise him, Jesus comes into the meeting. He manifests himself. He just sort of slips right in, begins to fill the vessel. And oh, I tell you, I want my portion.
someone in this meeting, or perhaps a number of us that are not rejoicing exceedingly and exceeding glad this morning, we pray, O God, that this will be part of the blessing that you want to give us and that we will receive from your hand today. Lord, we know that there's no excuse for any of us that are washed in your blood and your children by faith to be sad or to be discouraged. Oh God, convict us. And we pray, Lord, that you'll pour out that exceeding gladness into our souls. We're so thankful, oh God, that you've called us to go a glory way. And we're so thankful, oh God, for the joy of the Lord that is our strength, it's our life. It's our very enablement to go through. Oh God, pour it out upon us this morning.
I'm not going to defend myself against what my wife said. I'm just going to remember, blessed are they who are persecuted. There's always two sides to a story. But talking like this morning, I'm glad to hear these talks. Because I believe God is dealing with me about this business of mechanical praise. I noticed in our meetings at Whitby, well, maybe two or three Sundays ago, that this is what was happening, that we were praising the Lord because we praise the Lord, or like, you know, part of the church service, you know. And I felt badly about that, of course, but I noticed it when we first went there. People didn't know anything about praising the Lord, at least not too much. And now we have learned to praise the Lord, but you know, like the world says, put it in quotes, instead of reality, it's just something that is a thing that we do. And we do have to be very, very careful about that. So I'm glad the Lord is dealing with us about this morning and drawing this to our attention. And I was thinking here in the meeting of a lady down in Virginia when we were down there. I don't know if she's still in the area or not. Mrs. Day, is she still around?
She's in the nursing home.
Is she? Yes. Well, Mrs. Day used to be in the meetings that we were in. And Mrs. Day had gotten wonderfully saved, and she really was just bubbling over with the Lord's presence. She was just a poor lady, and she had a little bit of land down there, and her husband was a drunkard and didn't do very much to help things out. And she had a needy boy, I think he was in his 20s or so when I was there, if I remember correctly. And he wasn't much help, I don't believe, around either. So Mrs. Day had to do everything. They had a cow or two and several pigs. And that's about all she had to support her. And so when these animals got sick, she had to pray for them. She literally laid hands on her animals and prayed for them, and the Lord healed them. And it was just wonderful. She would lay hands on pigs and cows and dogs, and just, I don't know what she did with her chickens. Maybe catch them, I guess she laid hands on them too. But she was such a blessing. She was just so full of the Lord. And when she came into meeting, she didn't bless the meeting too much in helping you to praise the Lord, except that she was being greatly blessed. Because she got blessed, you got blessed, but it wasn't because she was in tune, because she wasn't in tune. And when we sang hymns and choruses, she was way off, and she sang loud. And she was way off key, and there was no melody or anything in her voice. And when we praised the Lord, she was singing, praising the Lord in another key. And when we would stop, she would still go on. You know? See, we're just so happy in the Lord. And we all learn so much from Mrs. Day. Because it isn't the beauty of voice blending, as beautiful as that is, but you know, that isn't what we're doing it for. We had a man come from the University of Toronto into our church in Toronto. I was just a young person there at that time, so this was quite a few years ago. And it was back in 48 or 47, 48, I think. And there had come a wonderful outpouring of the Holy Spirit into our church. And there was much praise, and this church hadn't praised the Lord before, but just praising like we praise the Lord and making melody, you know, to the Lord. And this professor came in just by chance somehow off the street into the church, and here was all this praise. Now, he was a professor of, what was he, Ruby?
Music.
Yeah, but he specialized in harmony or something. I don't know what you would call it. He wouldn't call it that, but that's what he knew much about harmony. And he came to the pastor afterwards, and he said, "I have found the lost chord." He said, "This is beautiful." He said, "I have never heard such praise, or not praise, but such melody and such harmony in all my life." He said, "What's happening in this place?" He couldn't understand. And he had to inquire of the pastor, because he was just, and as far as I know, he wasn't even saved. But he just saw that. Well, that's true, we have that. And it's there without us even trying, really. And of course, we're helped, like David said, by the instruments to praise the Lord. And all of this is right, but oh, how careful we've got to be. I think it'd be far better for us to be Mrs. Day, way off key, way off note, but our hearts right, just so close to God, so much in touch with the Lord, and so much wanting to praise God. I want God to deal with me about this more, and I'm not going to let it go at this, just hearing things about it and speaking about it. Because I believe the Lord does want to tune us up, eh?
Amen.
Tune us up.
Praise.
Make us in tune with the Holy Ghost. So that our praising the Lord is something that's vital.
Yes.
It's something that the Holy Spirit is working in our hearts. It's an operation of the Holy Ghost. And as we've heard, it's a personal experience we have with the Lord. We're oh so close to the Lord. The Lord is working in us. And the Lord is doing something there within, because we're reaching out. Because we want Him. Now, sometimes that's a battle. It's like, I don't remember if Sister Bauer said anything about that, but I know my wife did, that sometimes it's a battle. But it's through those battles, or winning those battles, or winning in those battles, and going through those times and winning, that makes our praise something real. If you're just doing it because somebody else is doing it, or because the pastor has taught it, or that it's just the norm in the church where you go or here at camp, then, you know, you're going to have to learn something. The Lord's going to have to do something for you, and that's all right, of course. I hope the Lord will, and I hope He'll do more for me, too, to teach me more. But that's what we need. We need the Lord to deal with us and put us in a place, and this is very likely what He'll do, like He did with my wife, put her in a place where the bottom falls out of everything. She didn't tell you that our whole Sunday school disappeared, except my wife and I and our two kids and three people that had been baptized. This all happened over a baptismal service. And between the one Sunday and the next Sunday, that's what happened. We had a room crowded full. And then the next Sunday, we had the three people we baptized the Sunday before. We had my two children, my wife and I. And that's what was left. And that's where she had to learn to praise the Lord like that. Maybe I'd already learned. No, I hadn't learned. Something else was going on in my life at that time, I guess. I don't know what happened, really. But, you know, that puts a tone into your life. That puts a ring into you that you're not praising the Lord just because of local situation, the church, but you have, God's dealing with you, and you're dealing with God, and then the thing becomes real, becomes real. And I know you can't put yourself in that place, but I know that as you seek the Lord, He's going to teach you the reality of praising the Lord and worshiping the Lord, where it is real. It's because you know the Lord and you want to worship Him and you want to give unto Him the praise that is due unto His name. Praise God.
Yes, Lord.
And we want to make sure that we pray for our brother Bill this morning on his birthday. He's 23 today. That's all right. I can tell that about a man, right? He's been living here for about 3 years, right, Bill?
3 years and about 4 or 5 months.
3 years and almost a half. And he's been a vital part of our home here, especially when we're alone in the winter. Every one of us is more noticeable, and he's one of us. And we're so thankful for him. Billy was saved here at camp as a camper many years ago. Well, I shouldn't say many years ago, when he was around 12. And the Lord also filled him with the Holy Spirit, and he had a little bit of a tumble when he got a little older into his teens, and then he was gloriously saved again and came back to the Lord while he was down in Florida. And he thought about Pilgrim Camp, where it all began. And he didn't even know if there was a Pilgrim Camp anymore. So he took a shot in the dark and he called up, and Brother Gordon answered. And he said, "Oh, Brother Gordon, you're still there." And that's when the connection came again. And he came back that next summer to work on camp, work in the summer camp, and then he felt led to come here to train for the work of the Lord. We're very thankful for him. And I certainly, and I'm sure you would like to hear a testimony from him. And then let's really pray that God will bless him. Billy?
I would like to thank the Lord for all he's been doing for me this year. This year has held a lot of new and different things for me, things that I didn't understand, and just new experiences in the Lord. I thank God for every year in the Lord, whether it centers around my birthday or not. Because as you grow in the Lord, there are so many things that He has to show us and so many things that we have to learn. And we don't always understand it all. But He knows what's best for us, and He is working in us to do His good pleasure and to make us into the image that He wants to make us. And He wants to make me, I know, into the vessel that He wants me to be. And I've needed a lot of work, and I've been a funny piece of clay on that wheel. I've wobbled and done a lot of things. But the Lord has been working and working and working, I know. And I thank God for that. And I know that to every lesson, everything that happens in life, there is a point to it, and it's something that we can look back upon and just recall, well, that's what the Lord was trying to do for me at that time, and that's what the Lord was trying to teach me at this time. And so I thank God for living up here at camp and many lessons I've been learning. I thank God for the family, the immediate Pilgrim Camp family, and also for every one of you that are here, and I pray that the Lord will bless you.
Praise.
Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise Jesus, glory to God, hallelujah.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
For those who feel led, the ministers certainly are welcome to join me. Let's pray for Billy. I really believe that God is going to do something today.
And plan and design that you have over him. Oh God, cause him not to strain, cause him not to worry. But Lord, we pray that Bill shall be able to enter into you in a way he's never known before or known possible. We thank you for his consecration and his desire, and we know, oh God, that you are here to meet it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Make him more pliable in your hands, that your purpose over him will be accomplished along every line. We pray that you'll make him to stand perfect and complete in all the will of God, for body, soul, and spirit. We pray that you'll make him the vessel unto honor, sanctified, meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Jesus, we just commit him to you. We're thankful that you're doing a wonderful work, and we trust that you'll continue. We put him into your hands together by faith this morning. And we pray that by our united prayer and our united faith, that you will find occasion to work more wonderfully, more powerfully in him. We pray that you'll take advantage of this opportunity to perform those changes that he's been looking to you for and that you've been working on. Oh, God, let these last 23 years be a preparation for what you have for him this day and this coming year. In Jesus' name.
Wonderful. Lord, we thank you for Bill. We thank you for his giving this to you, Lord, and his service in your kingdom, Lord, and the blessing he is, Lord. We just thank you for all this, Lord. And I know that our brother is reaching out to you and wanting more of you and to know you better, Jesus, and for your own self to be manifested not only to him, but in him, through him, Lord. And we covet these blessings too for him, Lord, and pray that you will do this and give him the very deepest cry of his heart. Grant it to him, Lord, as he seeks you in his coming year. Lord, let this be the most glorious year yet for him. Let him grow, Lord. Let him develop, Lord. Let him be enlarged in you, Lord. Best of all, make him to know you better throughout this year. May every day be a revelation of his Heavenly Father to him. He would come into a knowledge of you, Lord. Reveal yourself to him, Jesus. Reveal yourself, Lord. Let him come to know you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. Let there be that that opening up and that unveiling of your own presence and power to our brother, Lord. Oh, of your will, Lord, in all wisdom, in all spiritual understanding.
that's within this man.
Yes, Lord.
And Father, we pray that during this year that you will give him a greater faith to stir up the gifts that are within him.
Yes.
Lord, that this life and the light of Jesus that's within will begin to flow in ever-increasing measure in rivers of living water, Lord. Let it overflow to the lives and hearts of every single person that he comes in contact with. Oh, God, we just take faith in this year, Lord Jesus, where faith will spring up within his heart, and that he will lay hold of all the unsearchable riches of Christ. In Jesus' name, oh, glory be to Jesus.
Yes, Lord, we believe.
Glory.